This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for making us part of your day. The Expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. Here's the Chief with an edition of football's finest. Take it away.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Cowboy Monday, 877-881-1053. What's your headline from yesterday's game? Mark Bristow on the Twitter has two of them. The first, it's curtains for Jerry.
Pretty good, Mark.
The blind leading the blinds.
Ooh, that's good.
Mark Bristow putting his two cents in there on the Twitter. I thought it would be a simple Cowboys get sunned, but
well, like
it's
that.
Spelled with a U.
What up, son?
But we all know the sort of the double meaning there. That was going to be kind of my go-to, but what do the Tolos think here? The observations from the game, that's just... It's pretty. Remarkable.
How about no rush?
Ooh,
is that okay?
Yeah,
no rush.
I'd say that's freaking outstanding, Brian.
How about poopered the bed?
I was just poopered the bed.
His play, like he was lost in the sauce from the jump, dude.
Yeah,
just fumbling the ball on the snap, and there were so many hilarious things. I mean, Barkley's play. It was just we cannot overstate how incredible that swing pass was there down at the goal line where they get him. It's in the red zone, and then he gets it down to the goal line. But he makes Kendricks look
it's a
like
third
a
down
fool.
Play too.
Yeah, it's a third down
and
play,
nine.
Third and long. Yeah. Yes, Kendricks. All you got to do is make a tackle before the sticks. He just kind of freezes. Overshown comes flying in kamikaze style.
They had defensive holding on the play too, so it'd have been
it wouldn't have mattered.
Down.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then Malik Hooker is just hanging on for dear life. And then on the same end of the field, just not too long later, you have Zeke fumbling and just basically giving the game up as the ball's rolling into the end zone. That was basically just the game rolling out of your grasp.
Had another holding call on that play too. Span forward. That one would have been brought back. Even if Zeke holds on to it, gets the ball to the one, Span Ford got called for holding in that situation. Yeah. Which he did. He tackled the dude.
He did. Okay. He did. It was just
the flag.
Clean and
literally,
clear.
Zeke walks over the flag when he's walking back to the huddle or walking back to the sidelines. But yeah, Span Ford is going to get called. If the ball's down to the one, it's going to be they're going to back it up. It's going to be second and goal from the 13.
That was bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was blown away at just the inaccuracy. Choppy was saying this morning Cooper was just skipping rocks all day. And it was like he was just aiming at their feet.
What was unfortunate is they had a couple. It's not often the Cowboys get separation in routes, but there was one time. Remember he overthrew Tolbert and almost intercepted?
Yes.
And the ball went over the top. They had two throws that he or two opportunities in that game. Or not in the game, but on that particular play, he could have hit Tolbert on the end and hit and maybe Turpin. It's a play that looked like they ran against Atlanta to get the first down. Remember they went double in?
Yes.
And they threw the ball fourth down? He just overshot. I mean, he could have thrown the ball back to Turpin. It would have been the same play, and you'd have had you know, you would have had an opportunity, but he airmailed it and almost had an interception.
Yeah, he had some airmails. He had some a bunch at the feet of his guys, even though they were just line of scrimmage passes. Even the passes that were being batted at the line of scrimmage, it wasn't even like the fingertips of Jalen Carter. It was like right at his armpit. Yeah. I don't know. It was just a completely different version of rush. You were just hoping, you were like thinking mid, and it ended up being bottom of the barrel, just terrible.
It's obvious that they're trying to optimize the game plan just not to turn it over, right? That's our top priority.
Last 2 weeks have been throw short of the sticks and hope you get plays out
of
it.
That's what I was going to say. Is like the crazy thing is they had that same game plan for Dak.
Yeah, yeah, you absolutely.
Know? Yeah, that's what it's been. Yeah. That's been the offense. It's really, really disheartening and tough to watch. Kalen Carson, we talked about in the pregame, brought us how we were kind of fearing for his life in this particular game, and they just attacked him nonstop.
Yeah, they did.
To the point where Zimmer was like, hey, just come take a load off.
Well, after he gave up the 44-yard pass, and by the way, Hurts threw the ball perfectly on that play.
It was a great throw.
But, the double move, if you go back and watch – the big plays, everything came off the double move. And so that's what the game plan was, you know, to make this guy stop his feet and then just go by him. And that's what they were.
I think it was six straight passes at one point. They had targeted Carson. And, I mean, they did eventually go to McQuamu. They did make the move, but it just felt like, again, they're just a step behind on that.
Yeah, and of course, the Terrence Steele play where he gets absolutely smoked off the edge, and then he tries to make up for it and scoop the ball up, even though it's him and Lipke that both have a chance at the ball, and Steele's like, this is my moment, and I thought Nance's call was pretty incredible.
Third and nine. Ball's back, knocked out of his hands. Cowboy lineman, football follies, and maybe Philadelphia has it. Oh, my goodness. The Keystone Cops just broke out here on the field, and the Cowboys have yet another low light.
Yet another low light. He was like, wow, Nance, you really nailed that right there. I wasn't sure the reference that he made there.
Yeah, the Keystone Cops.
It's an old talkies, silent movies, kind of like police chaos. Those with the, you know, the old English police with the big hats and everybody kind of running into each other, and what that was all. It was comedy of that era.
The thing I would compare this to, a little dated.
1912 and 1917 is when this series was around.
Yeah, and I are same age, basically.
I wouldn't go back that far, but this feels like that year in, like, what was it, 1989? Yeah, the 1-15 year. Yeah. That's what the commentary felt like to me last night. I'd have to go back to very young Dawson. I remember quite well watching, Ken Norton, I believe, was the best player on that team, other than, you know, Troy and Michael, who had yet to kind of come into their own.
It's just like laughing at your own pain, kind of just awful, kind of
really brutal.
Yeah. And
don't
the way
belong, disrespecting the sport, sort of.
The way that the national analysts talk about you, I think, really brings it home, because you're inside your own frustration. You're like, wait a minute, they're talking about us like they used to talk about the LA Clippers.
Yeah.
You know,
just a total joke.
Just, an embarrassment, you know, and I hope they can make a quick recovery out of this. Well, but I think we might be in for 2 years of this. I think we got to go through it again next year, Wolchuk. Sorry to bring that up.
No, you might be right, but there's four more primetime games on the schedule, guys.
Oh, they're getting flexed.
There's two Monday nighters. There's a Sunday nighter, and then Thanksgiving Day against the Giants.
Well, they won't
flex
that.
The entire country gets to party there. Well, they're not going to. So next week it's too late. The Texans game's going to stand.
Yeah, they won't flex the Thanksgiving game because Dallas has been,
Well, they don't flex Thanksgiving.
40-something, I don't know. John Machota put the tweet out last night that somebody asked about Thanksgiving, and it's already been set.
So, yeah, I mean, that's Thanksgiving's not the only one.
But
that
if you
I think
look at the numbers, look at the
Bucks.
Numbers for Thanksgiving. Look for the numbers.
Well, they're huge. I wonder if they'll be lower this year.
Yeah, they played the Commanders last year, and it was a huge number. So yeah, they're not coming.
But I wonder if they'll flex any of them because of that, because the Cowboys are still going to draw a bunch of numbers. But that game
Cincinnati?
Against the Bucks coming up, like Cincy, December 9th, I don't know if they're going to flex that one. But the Sunday nighter against the Bucks, that would be the one, because the Bucks are also trending. They've got a losing record. They're 4-6 and 3-6 is what those two records are. Maybe that's the one. Commanders and Eagles do play each other at noon that weekend. That's a Fox game. Now, I don't know if Fox would say, hey, we're claiming that, so you can't flex it because the network gets one apiece. But that would be
They'll move that.
That would be one to move.
325. I mean, they'll move that if they're not going to give the game up, they'll just make it a prime their American game of the week or whatever they call that.
But we need some other game to step up there to get the Cowboys off that Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that'll be a great test of just can you just play the Cowboys? Do you want the Cowboys no matter what?
Yeah, because I think I looked last week. They have the second best TV rating still.
They still average. Do.
Only the Chiefs are better. So.
I mean, Taylor Swift.
We don't want them on national TV because we don't want the embarrassment getting out. You know, it's like airing your dirty laundry. Nobody wants to see the Cowboys like this on stage.
That's always the toughest one to swallow is when the entire timeline is focused on your game. And so especially when you're a down and out team and it's football follies and it's Trey Lance, I don't know what the plan was there yesterday with the way they went about doing that. I'm all like, okay, it's a Trey Lance time. And then you blink, you're like, wait, is that Rush dropping back to pass here? What is happening? And then the first chance he gets on the second drive to drop back, he, of course, is just deer in the headlights, and he's sacked on his first drop back. And I thought that is just exactly how it should
Can be. I give you the metrics by route for Cooper Rush yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, they threw the hitch 22% of the time. He was 1 of 5 for 1 yard. Flat, he threw it 22% of the time. He was 5 for 5 for 17. The out route was 13%. He was 2 for 3 for 8 yards. The crossing route, he threw for 13%. He was 1 for 3 for -1 yard. Wide receiver screen, he was 2 for 2 for 6. The go route, he was 0 for 2. The corner route, he was 0 for 1. The in route, he was 1 for 1 for 9 yards. And the slant, he was 1 for 1 for 5 yards. That was the metrics by route.
Just another day at the office, man. 45 total yards of passing for Cooper Rush on 23 attempts.
Yeah.
It's as bad as it gets. 2 yards per attempt there. The Cowboys, I heard from Sean today, the stat of the day, where the Cowboys had more total plays offensively than they did passing yards, which is a really, really difficult thing. You have to sort of try to be that bad. But yeah, the Trey Lance era, beginning with him going in and then immediately getting benched and then going back in for his first drop back and being sacked, and then next thing you know, he's throwing just a random,
it was a YOLO ball. It was a YOLO ball to Tolbert.
Tolbert had no clue what was going on.
Well, Ringo, he couldn't get away from Ringo. Like, Ringo the corner was riding him the whole way up the field, and it just made Gardner Johnson's job easy to go get that football.
Mm. And then there's the play where he's rolling out to his left and he's got an easy throw to Scooney, but he throws it too high and just rips it, even though it's a 6-yard pass, and he can't even complete that one. And you're just like, wow, you know what? They do have a tough call here. It's not as easy as you think to just throw in Trey Lance, because he could be historical if you watch him for 4 quarters of a real game. I mean, it was 5 interceptions or whatever in a preseason game. If you give Trey Lance 4 quarters of real NFL football, I think you could be witnessing one of the most insane turnover type games of all time. If you just, you're out there the whole game, Trey Lance versus a real NFL defense, it could get all time historically bad.
Or you could just make design runs like they had where they did the quarterback draw for 11 yards.
That's what they could do.
If the game plan is to throw the ball zero times.
That's what I'm saying.
You got a shot.
You turn it into a college offense that has got some of that RPO stuff to it where it's the simple throws and things like that. If you're asking him to rip balls down the field, that's probably right now. He's got better arm strength than Cooper Rush. The threat of him running gives you an opportunity, if everything's breaking down, just take off. But
he's the type of quarterback you play 11 men in the box on.
Yeah.
Because he cannot throw the football.
And see if, you know, and maybe that, I don't know, they don't, by the way, they don't play 11 men in the box against Dallas anyway. They don't fear your run. Even with
the
quarterback, they probably don't fear your run.
Yeah, you got to go like Malik Wills and what they did in Green Bay. And maybe he can hit a couple of passes, but just run them.
It was really poor.
Your defense, you know, if you just don't go 3 and out like 7 straight times, you know, maybe you could find a way, you know, help your defense a little bit, but they did nothing.
They didn't get a first down after that drive where Zeke fumbled. They didn't get a first down until that Trey Lance first in the fourth quarter, and the next play Ferguson fumbled.
It just shows you how important the chunk play passing game is, because there are several teams, and the Cowboys are now one of them, where if you put together a run-based game plan, you're saying, let's run it between Rico and Trey at least 40, maybe 50 times. I think that's winning. But they're like, no, we have to figure out the passing game. None of this actually matters unless we're developing the kind of coordination with everybody involved that, you know, we can be heading somewhere legitimate. They won't take the easy way out. The easy way out right now, you have Rico, who's putting up some pretty impressive running numbers now at this point.
He was on pace for 100 yards. Yeah. He had like 9 carries and 52 yards. And they decided, you know what? Yep, Zeke, get in there. You got this, buddy.
Yeah, and then they go right back to Zeke after the fumble.
Yeah, that was the turning point.
That Nick Harris tweet was fantastic. Yeah. He's like, last year, Hunter Lipke fumbles at the one. He doesn't get another carry all year.
I think
Zeke fumbles. Next drive, he touches the ball the first time. That's the difference between when you're the owner and general manager's guy and Zeke, and when the coaches love you and Lipke.
And I think it was a profound turning point in the game. You know, if you're watching that game on the Cowboys sideline as a player, you're like, what the crap? We have a chance to go up in this game. What would that have been then? 13-7 or 10-7?
I think it would have been
10-7.
They take the lead, yep.
Zeke fumbles. Mm-hmm. We get this gift back. Of course, we still can't score a touchdown, so we kick another field goal.
You get the ball like a 3-yard line, you can't score.
We're in this thing. And then the next drive, Zeke is getting the ball again. I quit. I'm done. How do you show up to the next play with 100% conviction after seeing that total lack of competitive focus from your organization? I don't know how you do it.
No, I don't know how you do it either. And that play, Zach Bond, we talked about him coming in. Yeah. He's having a renaissance season, and that was like the game of the year. He was all over the place. He's forcing fumbles left and right. I loved the call from Romo after the fumble on Zeke. He was like, man, Bond is an under-the-radar player, but now he's over the radar after that play.
Dude.
He's over the radar.
The pokes and trolls that the broadcast crew had throughout the game were pretty amazing. You can tell that, like, off the air, Cowboys are the butt of some jokes now. It's a tough place to be. We'll see how Jerry and Steve try to get off the mat when the offseason does arrive, but 8 more weeks of this. How do you interpret what Micah Parsons said about Mike, the reaction to that, and then Micah's updated reaction to that. It's coming up next.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the Nation. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan, LA Live with Lucius Alexander is 17 minutes away from right now. We have Cowboys Twitter coming up inside the expressway. Everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day. It's a fight week. Tyson and Paul Friday night. That's exciting on Netflix. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Man, I want Tyson to win. The anticipation, the buildup as a kid, getting ready for the pay-per-views, knowing he's probably going to smash some guy who was once a household name in under 1 minute. It was a very special time, and just to relive a little bit of that nostalgia, I hope he absolutely clocks Jake Paul. Wouldn't that be exceptional?
It would be, man.
He seems pretty locked in. Like the audio clips that are coming out this week of him and Jake, they're doing interviews together.
He seems dialed.
He's got the eye of the tiger.
Okay, we'll give you what Mike has said, the reaction, and now his reaction to that reaction here shortly. There's a couple of sports stories here. Let me just hit him real quick. The former NFL coach Jack Del Rio with one of the most insane DWI stories of all time. Madison, Wisconsin. He was a senior advisor there to Luke Fickell with the Badgers. The 61-year-old arrested shortly after midnight over the weekend after a vehicle he was driving hit a street sign, broke a fence, and came to arrest in a yard, according to Madison police incident. Officers dispatched to the scene located west of campus. Witnesses directed the officers to the driver who was walking away, According to the incident report, no injuries were reported. Del Rio showed signs of impairment, admitted to driving the vehicle. He was arrested for his first time OWI, operating while intoxicated and released.
Madison will do that to you, man.
Is that right?
Madtown's a party place.
We have baseball, hot stove, winter meetings are about to go on. Winter meetings coming up real shortly here. Top five free agents with odds on the next team to sign him. Rangers only in the mix right now, according to the sports books. It's Blake Snell with their odds of adding him at 10-1. That'd be a shocker, though, considering how careful the Rangers are being with money spent, and some of the, you know, analytics around Snell suggest maybe it wouldn't be worth it. And then I want to sneak in like 16 seconds on soccer. Lily Johannes, not old enough to vote. She's going to be representing Team USA on the soccer field. 17-year-old committing to the U.S. Women's National Team instead of Netherlands. She's lived in Netherlands since she was 10, but she had the choice, and she's coming to play for the red, white, and blue. Oh, so I thought the soccer fans would be excited about that. Yes.
There we go. We need more of that, maybe on the men's side.
Yeah, yeah, we'll take all we can get on the men's side.
That women, they've got it kind of figured out.
They
men,
do.
The men need some lilies over
that,
there.
That feels, you know, like the play. You know, you just send all your 5-year-old soccer players overseas, let them develop until they're about 17, 18, and then you bring them back home to play for their country.
Dawson, absolutely, do you genius. Send them to Europe, or do you send them to South America to probably develop Europe. Soccer?
Probably Europe. Yeah, in Europe, they the big clubs, they invest for the infrastructure, so you don't have to pay anything. You're just like, hey, you're a really good soccer player, so here, come train with professionals in our state-of-the-art academy.
Yeah,
please.
I just kind of wondered, you know, with Argentina winning the World Cup, I wonder if our
that would be a bad idea either.
Like, yeah. We see all across the world that a lot of these South American guys are involved.
Yeah,
and they know if they're doing
heavily involved.
They're doing something different down
extremely
there.
Extremely involved,
a little too much involved.
No, they're football
just the right
guys.
Amount. I mean, but you're going to be talking about pampered American athletes with the budget to send their kid to a different country, and it's, Europe has the infrastructure. South America does it with like the culture of you know, kids playing in their backyard with their families and stuff like that.
Maybe we need some more backyard playing.
We do. We absolutely need a lot more backyard playing. Right. Time now for some Cowboys Twitter and top tweets going viral. It started last night. Micah Parsons asked to reflect on the idea that Mike McCarthy won't be back next year. Here's what he said.
Mike's on the final year of his contract, so outside there's, of course, going to be questions. What's the sentiment inside the locker room, and what do you tell people who are wondering about whether McCarthy will be your coach next year?
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but the guys, I kind of feel bad for is guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
So, yeah, he's trying to talk about that in reverence to his veteran teammates. And I think accidentally, you know, hit Mike McCarthy. They're kind of ran him over. And, you know, as a result of that, he's faced quite a bit of criticism throughout the day. We have a couple of different reactions. You do have Rex Ryan said he doesn't deserve that. No coach deserves that. No player is putting in the hours that a head coach is, I can assure you. You're going to have some private issue. Go to the owner, go to whoever, go to Mike McCarthy. But why the hell do you think that you need to say that? Why do you need to hurt this man? Who do you think gets blamed for everything? He gets it anyway. So why are you piling on? That was Rex Ryan this morning.
And I see the quotes here from Micah in response to Rex Ryan.
We'll play we're going to get to that here in just a second. We also have a clip of Damian Woody, the former New England Patriots offensive lineman. He was on Get Up as well, talking about Micah Parsons' thoughts last night.
I've never heard anyone say anything remotely like that after a game. I really have. And, like, who the hell Michael Parsons think he is talking like that after a game? Bro, you've been missing all these games with the injury. And last time I checked, the head coach is a Super Bowl winning coach. And I know the season hasn't gone the way that everyone is expected to go and all that. But for you to sit there in the locker room right after your team gets pummeled and to just undress your head coach in that manner, See, that's what's going on with all these podcast boys out here in the locker room. Everybody wants to sit there and want to you know, spout and say all this type of stuff. There used to be a time when there's a little bit of respect, a little decorum in the locker room, because at the end of the day, it was about we didn't do enough. All of y'all got your asses kicked. Okay, and you're going to go out here and talk about your head coach, basically your head coach not working, not doing anything to try to prepare the team? I just think it's a bunch of BS, man. Yeah. I really do. I like, we can sit here and laugh and all that stuff, type of stuff, and be here in shock, but that's disrespectful what Michael Parsons did to Mike McCarthy in that situation, because I know, again, it's not the results that Mike McCarthy wants. But I know that man is busting his ass every single day to try to go out there and get a win. And to hear one of your star players come out there and say that?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, I can't ride with that.
That's total.
Okay, so the 214 has a funny text. Aaron Rodgers says Mike did not work that hard, by the way. So, yes, you could have that reaction if you want, if you believe that Micah Parsons said that with the intent of tearing down Mike McCarthy. Here's On the Edge this afternoon. Micah Parsons back in the lab. Had a chance to put his thoughts together. We have two cuts. First of all, responding to Woody and Rex.
A guy like Woody, right? A former player. He's a Super Bowl champ. He should know the significance of, one, throwing out someone's injury. Like, I wanted to get injured. Now, that's blatant disrespect. I've never missed a game in my career. Not college, not high school, not even to up for about 4 or 5 weeks ago. To injury. To say that I'm just missing games because of injury, like it's just some injury after I suffered a significant injury playing the game that we love. Someone who's been around teams and legends at that can say, like, that's how I know we all have to see through the BS of what these TV analysts are trying to do and, you know, provide us and basically take words. I never once threw or even intended to throw Mike McCarthy under the bus. Like I said, he's one of the most winningest coach. He is a Super Bowl champ. I never once brung up his past. And the question that was asked was about here in the Dallas Cowboys, did I see Mike McCarthy in our future? And I said, that's above my pay grade. So never once did I ever intended or wanted to reflect on Mike McCarthy's career, because I always knew it was a good one. I've always had a great relationship with Mike McCarthy, and I never even put that in question. And for a guy like Rex Ryan, I just know he wanted to coach the Cowboys. Like, I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman, because if we have a guy that's willing to go on TV and provide this type of nonsense, imagine what he could do to a locker room.
Okay, so I never once intended to throw Mike under the bus. I'm going to take his word for that. I have no reason to doubt that he's lying. I just think that, you know, we judge ourselves on intentions. We judge others on our actions, on their actions. And, I mean, what he said definitely left it open. It was an unskillful response in the media last night. That's what created this. Not, you know, bad journalism from Woody or Rex Ryan. And I think he would have done well to own that. Like, man, I see how the world's reacting. I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. I didn't intend to phrase it this way. I should have phrased it this way instead. And I think he would have everybody, no doubt, on his side right now.
972 said, who is Zimmerman?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. It was pretty
just
good.
Just an accident.
Zimmerman.
I mean, he'll go on to explain like the difference when he was talking about Zach Martin in the next cut. But that was where I think, you know, when he talked about putting forth more was as a Cowboy. Like, Mike McCarthy's been here 5 years. Zach Martin's been here a decade. I think that's what he was trying to say, and it's been taken now into Mike McCarthy doesn't work hard. I think it was simply just like the time in which spent with the Dallas Cowboys organization. Zach Martin's been here and done more than Mike McCarthy has. I've definitely had my fair share of issues with Micah. I think this one where it was certain word choices here were taken out of context, and maybe he was dogging Mike, if you want to have that belief. I'm not going to fight you. Maybe he does have some issue with Mike McCarthy. I don't know. But this one, I do think he had a positive intent to just speak up for a teammate versus really going after Mike McCarthy in this situation.
I agree with you on that. Let's hear the rest from Micah Parsons on his podcast today, and then we'll get to LA Live here coming up in about 5 minutes.
When you play football, all coaching aside, and you can look at college, you can look at even the pros, coaches are, you know, their careers are way longer. You know, they can decide to take a better job. They can move on. You kind of see that a lot from DCs, OCs, head coaching positions. Sometimes better job openings just open up. And you truly never know. You never know how the dice is going to roll with coaches. But when you talk about guys you consistently going to war with, man, like guys that I seen Tyron and Zach barely can walk throughout the week, take a Tortorella, go out there and play, you know, being half a man basically and giving us our best effort. So when you see those type of things, you see guys pushing through injuries, pushing through just so much difficulty. It is the Planet's League. Yes, 100%. Every time I'm going to always choose the brother that we're going to bleed with, we're going to work with, because in the end, you know, it's a small group of us, you know. There is no politics out there on that football field. I understand what he meant to the Dallas Cowboys organization, because I'm only worried about what happens at the Dallas organization, man. And, you know, it truly bothers me how much negativity that we choose to put out there. Because not once did I want this quote to be a negative moment. I only want it to be a positive light and shine light on guys like Zach Martin, who may or may not be a Cowboy next year. But it's going to be a Ring of Honor guy, a Hall of Fame guy, and that just know that he just added so much value to the Cowboys that will be missed.
Yeah, I would just add to that, you know, I mean, how about the 682? Stop trying to take up for Micah. He's a bleep-talking podcast boy. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I'm just trying to be fair to it. I'm not trying to take up for anybody or not. But, you know, to follow up that, I would say being in the media is difficult. It takes a long time to figure out how can I have a hot take without accidentally saying something I regret, right? So you get into this state where your brain kind of is regulating it and govern it and observing what I'm about to say in 5 seconds. And the longer you're in radio, the faster you can get, or the longer you're in podcasting, the faster you can get. And those two parts of your brain are governing it and managing it. But early on, there's a lot of mistakes to be made. And even if you've been in the game for decades, mistakes are made, right? If I was Mike, I would just acknowledge the mistake. Man, I was trying to say nice stuff about Zach, and I accidentally made it sound like I was ripping Mike McCarthy, or I did not care about Mike McCarthy. You know?
Yeah, I think that's the most sound advice that he could be given right now, because you can't distance yourself from what you actually said, which was you want to win games and do great things with those types of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So I can understand if you misspoke. Yeah. I totally can. But that right there, you can't sit here and act like the media is trying to twist your words. Yeah. That sentence right there came out of your mouth, yeah, and you need to address the fact that you didn't mean to say it that way. I think we all can understand what he was trying to do, sticking up for guys like Zach Martin. But that line right there, more than Mike McCarthy ever did, you weren't even being vague about coaches or anything. You just put his name right back on it. Like, that's a pretty cutting line right there that he just needs to acknowledge. The funniest part to me, though, is when he's talking about Rex Ryan and he calls him out. He's like, funny about him, he wanted to be the Cowboys coach. I'm perfectly happy with Zimmer. If we have a guy that's willing to go on TV and provide this type of nonsense, just imagine what he could do to a locker room, as he is basically on TV. I'm watching Micah Parsons on his podcast, which it can be watched across the internet and the world. And what are you doing to your locker room right now on your podcast, Micah?
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of that, Mike McCarthy presser earlier found out something really interesting. He said, if an answer gets to a point where other people in the locker room have to talk about it, then mm-hmm. you guys have to meet face to face. So he and Micah had a meeting today, and it sounded like they put it under the bridge.
Do you guys remember, did Damon Woody comment about OJ Mayo calling the New England Patriots soft?
I'm sure
he probably addressed it, and I think he supported it.
Okay, I went and looked it up because I was just curious.
Yeah.
You know, I was just curious just in this.
I would assume they would definitely get his thoughts on that, being a former
Patriot. Yeah, I just didn't know. You know, it seems like to me that those guys have made a living talking about the Dallas Cowboys up there.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to make sure, because we always talk about trying to be fair about things, but I was trying to pull something up on the internet, and maybe I didn't know what I was doing here, but I was trying to see if he had ever made a comment about the Patriots and the coach calling that team soft this year. Because that's something that, yeah, you know, I'd like to hear his thoughts on other teams, you know, not just the Dallas Cowboys situation, but I'd like to see if he made a comment about his own team, you know, stuff like that.
So, yeah, how consistent are you being?
How consistent are you in the media? Are
you just coming after the Cowboys?
Yeah,
coming, or,
and, you know, and yeah, and I'm not trying to defend Mike. I'm just trying to say in the world of trying to be fair in this.
Yeah.
You know, he went very hard at Micah and the Cowboys, and that's what they do up there.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Greenberg's show has become just target practice for the Cowboys up there with those guys. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, I think there seems to be a level of trying to be fair. If he's talking about things about the Patriots and how they're playing, then I would tune in. You know, but I don't know if he is.
As would I. Your chance to sound off coming up at 6, the 6 o'clock soundy, as demanded by Zach Wolchuk today in the prep meeting. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. We're Lucha.
In the heart of the city. Ain't no love in all the time. Hey, man, I want to give a big shout out to all the NFL players that went and got that Bitcoin in their contract.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago, and everybody laughed at them, made fun of them.
Yeah.
Who laughing now? Laughing now,
dude. It threw up the X earlier at 88.
It's going crazy, bro. It is going crazy, and that Doge too.
Yeah,
that Doge coin.
Oh my goodness, we're almost at 89.
Come on, man. I need that Doge coin to run again. I made a nice little old bag off of that a few years ago, and then SNL it dropped, and you know all this crazy stuff. But hey, I got enough to make it look good again. Keep running it, that shim too. Run it up.
Yeah,
run it up. All right, let's get into a Monday-Friday edition of L.A. Live, right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares.
It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a tub.
Oh, yeah.
It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Everybody get high.
Yo, so I'm like tripping on shrooms in the middle of the wood, and this f-ing dog named Oliver just jumped all over me, and I'm so scared of dog. And at that moment, I was like, this is it, this is it, this is when he or she's gonna bite my face. This is it, I just know it. It's my money maker too.
What?
But then it's just a friendly dog. You think the dog knew I was high?
Shout out to that Silla stopping out there, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. This is LA Live.
Fielder. He loves dogs now.
Yeah, I love dog. LA Live for Monday, November 11th, 2024. It is a Monday, Friday vibes here in LA Live. Shout out to the now disbanded Dallas rap group, PPT for that name. I also want to give a shout out to all the plumbers out there. Shout out to the plumbers. They don't get enough love. Oh, my God.
That's a dirty job.
That is a dirty job. You are appreciated. I had some pipes bust in my house over the weekend.
Oh, no.
Downstairs flooded. I'm out there doing the work. Yeah, I'm buying plumbers.
Did you redo the floor?
Huh?
Didn't you just do the floors?
No, I want to do the floor.
Okay, okay.
And I talked about that on Friday, how I want to get rid of that carpet.
Yes.
And the universe said, I got you, dog. Say no more.
Say
no
cow.
More. How about I just ruin it for you? Then you're forced to do it.
Now you have no choice.
Yeah, you have no choice.
Talk about manifesting, bro.
Come on, man. That universe be working, boy. You got to watch what you say out here, man. Yeah, so I was buying snakes. You know, the snake that you put in toilets, plungers, types of weird stuff, trying to make it happen. I got one more shot. I got a larger snake that wifey purchased that I'm going to use tonight. If that don't work, then the plumber's going to be at the crib taxing my ass.
Yeah.
But shout out to y'all, man. And shout out to everybody with the trade skills. You are appreciated. Mm-hmm. And it is a new millionaire class coming upon us with the trade skills, by the way. Mm-hmm. Private equity firms have been buying up trade businesses. So if you have like a plumber's business or whatever, an electrician's business, whatever you do, that's a trade. Private equity firms have been buying up your business and making you a millionaire. They're trying to add it to their stock portfolios.
Let's go.
Because a lot of people don't know the trades like that. So it's becoming super valuable.
Nice. Supply and demand.
Hey.
Not a lot of supply anymore.
Look at that. Look at that.
So yeah, a buddy of mine who's older than me, like dude's in his 50s, went and got a trade.
I don't blame him.
8 months later, knocking back six figs.
Come on, bro. Yeah. I don't blame him, bro.
Yes.
It is possible.
Yeah, they're talking to him like, hey, can you manage? He's like, yeah.
It is.
They just don't have people that can do it.
Manage my balls off.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing my Googles ever since then. I'm like, you know what? What can your boy L.A. do? Put his hands on. Put my mind to. Yeah, I'm going to figure it out. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here comes from the College Game Day set. His name is Pat McAfee. Stirring up the coffee. He had them boys out there at LSU singing that neck right there on live television.
These fantastic Tigers, and I say, hey!
Wow, bro.
Desmond Howard loves when he does stuff like wow. That. Desmond Howard gets such a kick out of like when Pat McAfee does crazy things.
It's right there on television. Yeah. Oh my God. Here's another one.
Coach, I've been trying to figure out all morning. What are they saying? Hey! So what are they saying? I can't hear. It's too loud. Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you.
What game was that where the kids, they ran onto the field early on Saturday night?
Oh, that was Ole Miss?
Was that what that was?
I didn't see.
I can't remember which. Yeah. Which you do. So many darn teams. And I was watching it at Buffalo Wild Wings. Which shout out Georgia to Buffalo Tech? Wild Wings. Was it that with the? No, it wasn't Georgia Tech.
I think it probably was Ole Miss.
It might have been Ole Miss.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You got fined for it.
Yeah, they would tear that place apart. There was like 14 seconds left, and they ran out on the field and started celebrating.
For things being thrown on the field.
Yep. Yeah. Ole Miss.
Yeah, they were losing it, dog. And some kid double barreled the screen.
Yes.
I thought about it because I was like, we had a conversation about, you know, the broadcasting entities of college football and whatnot. Yeah. And I said I like Fox.
Yeah.
Because Fox will like zoom in if there's a fight.
That's right.
You know, they'll zoom in.
And then catch a break.
They'll slow motion on a punch. Like, there it is right there. Oh, he's going to get a fine for that one. First and 10 on the 15. Like, yeah, I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this time ESPN, they didn't bleep anything out. It's like, let you see double barrels. Let you see the kids go crazy.
They're like, I mean, in the morning, we had neck playing on our air. What does it matter anymore?
We're leaning into it now.
So I got to take that back, ESPN. I got to take that back. What else we got right here? Big boxing weekend this past weekend. Keyshawn Davis won in Norfolk. That was amazing to watch. Kid is, he's on his way. Boots Ennis won. That's all I'll say about that. I mean, he's still good, you know. He won.
Questionable decision or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, and he didn't look like Boots in that fight. Oh, boy, had him figured out.
Okay.
Yeah. Came with something and had Boots scratching his head.
So he won on reputation, maybe?
You might be right. You might be a little right there. Let me do this. Because I watched me. I want to give this man his proper respects. We lost an icon.
Oh, no.
On Friday. Well, before Friday. But we learned about it Friday. Hold on. It's just jams, bro.
Get the popcorn ready.
That's live.
That's weak.
At the Spectrum in Philadelphia for today's matchup.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, man. R.I.P. to the icon. Horror movie icon, Tony Todd.
Oh.
Tony Todd, rest in paradise to you, sir. Yeah. Passed away November 6th at his home in Los Angeles. He was 69 years old, Eric.
No, don't tell me that.
Was he Candyman?
Candyman, dog.
There he is.
We lost Candyman. Oh. Tony Todd has about 240 film and TV credits spanning his four-decade career.
I bet he did a lot of work in 4 years.
Yeah, for real, bro. His big break came when he was cast in Oliver Stone's movie Platoon. He was in that movie.
Oh, dude, that movie right there will make you go to college.
It's hysterical.
I mean, tell that recruiter to shut up after you watch that movie.
It's hilarious. He was in Final Destination, where fans either believe he was the Grim Reaper or he was Satan himself. I don't know. I haven't Googled it to really, like, know.
Yeah.
But every time somebody got ready to die, he showed up.
He can scare the hell out of you.
He's been nominated in the past for a Fangoria Chainsaw Award. So this guy's a real savage.
Was it true about the bees? Like, he had real bees in his mouth for that Candyman scene?
I don't know. Google that. Let me know, bro.
Per bee.
That's crazy because, no. No, I like, are they... They don't have the stinger or something anymore?
Okay. No, they, per sting, they paid him.
Okay, Tony Todd had real bees. This is according to the AI overview Google deal that's going on right now. Had real bees in his mouth during a scene in Candyman, sends bees into another character's face. The bees were placed in Todd's mouth using a protective mouthpiece. He was stung 23 times during filming.
Oh, my God.
Todd negotiated a deal with the production company. How about this, Walchuk? You nailed it. To receive $1,000 for each sting.
Wow.
So
that's
20,
good money.
23 grand for those stings. That's probably money.
I need some incentive.
That's back in like 88. Yeah. That's like $5,000 in today's money.
That scene. Am I wrong? The bees, no, right. The bees used in the scene were
like
freshly hatched, non-stinging, and non-flying because the other actor in the scene was allergic to bee stings.
Oh, wow.
What?
So, but he still ultimately got stung 23 times, so I guess that was kind of not true.
I would have been nervous being on that set with all those bees, and I'm allergic to bees.
It's a good crazy pull, Walchuk. I remember seeing that a while back.
Walchuk's been down the Tony Todd bee rabbit hole.
Big rest in paradise to an iconic voice of AOL. And this guy right here.
Welcome.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh,
Elwood really? Edwards. R.I.P. to you, sir. Voice behind AOL's You've Got Mail passed away Tuesday at the age of 74.
Wow.
He was actually out here broadcasting, too, at WKYC News in Ohio.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. He was an Uber driver at one point and went viral for that. But, yeah, you're going to be missed out here, sir.
Elwood.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Never heard that game. Goodbye. Never heard that name before. Elwood.
If you would. Yeah, that's a cool
Jake
name.
Jake and Elwood.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers.
Yeah, little Blues Brothers right there. Elwood. Nice.
My buddy had a dog named Elwood. It was cool. I'd like to add one, Lucius, the former play-by-play man of the Portland Trailblazers. Brian Wheeler passed at the age of 62. I saw my buddy Dwight James writing about it today in his Substack.
Yeah.
He brought back Boom Shakalaka.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's tell great stories too, man.
Yeah, he did, man.
Historian almost. That guy was pretty good at his job. Yeah, I did see that. I'm sorry, I left that off there. Hey, what do you guys know about the sea monkeys?
Back in the day, yeah, they were like on the back of comic books, and they never, as you ordered them, they never were like they appeared on the comic books.
No, they weren't nearly as cool.
No, they weren't. No. Anyway, you're right. They're a brine shrimp or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A hybrid version. That this guy, what is his name? Harold von Brunhut.
Harold von Rip Everybody Off.
Yes. He held.
Because they never were the same. You would order them, and I made the mistake like three times, thinking I got a bad batch.
Oh, those were special monkeys. I'm going to get the real deal next time.
Yeah.
Loaded up.
Put you to the Blue Dolphin.
Yeah, he held 195 patents. He created the sea monkeys.
Yep.
Wow.
Which he has the patent on because the special formula that he made is the only things that bring those guys back to life.
Really?
You would get a sea monkey in an envelope. It would be dry.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the purified water or distilled water. Yeah. It had to be like distilled water, and it had to be this formula.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that brought him back to life. Many companies tried to like copy it, but they didn't know what the patent was.
Yeah. Wow.
This man had it. He also made
genius
X-ray specs. He was a genius at marketing.
We got those too.
X-ray specs. And I like the advertisement of the X-ray specs because it looks like this man was like looking through his hand.
Yeah.
And he was also like looking through a girl's skirt.
Yeah, the skirt part. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Sure. And it was like drawings.
Yeah.
It was the drawings. It wasn't like actual pictures.
So yeah.
That's what he was actually trying to do.
Genius at marketing. He sold something called Invisible Goldfish. When you get the tank, you get fish food, you get all these little decorations, and I promise you there's fish in there. They're invisible. Sold out, bro.
It's like the pet rock.
Sold out. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, those brine shrimp were great for feeding your carnivorous aquarium fish.
Yes.
The sea monkeys, yeah.
Yeah, they're still sold out there. Here's a weird thing I learned about him this weekend. This Harold von Brunt guy used to give tons and tons and tons of money to the Aryan Nations.
Oh,
dude. Whoa. I was like, what, the sea monkey guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the formula.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Bibbos?
I guess the name, you know.
You would think, but I'm not finished breaking your mind, Woolchuck. No, the Aryan Nations had him come out to speak at their conventions multiple times.
What?
And even had this guy light the cross.
Yeah.
And burn that cross. They had him out there. And he was just giving big, big money. In 1998, he was listed as, outstanding Aryan Nation leader. God,
wow. He's like publicly known.
The sea monkey guy.
We'll never look at him the same.
The whole time, this guy was Jewish.
What?
The whole time, he was a Jewish guy.
Wow.
That Von Braun, he put that Von on there.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, wow. It's not.
He pretended to be
Jewish.
He also pretended to have those sea monkeys, too.
Hiding in plain sight.
I swear he got me a couple times there.
Man, these Nazis got really good.
He was eating the schnitzel and just making it seem like he was
having matzo ball Mondays.
Matzo ball Monday, yeah.
Secretly. Yeah.
Realistically.
I mean, I need some matzo ball soup up here, man.
It's like, damn. It's so good. The sea monkey guy. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had it. I want to try it.
Yeah, it's good stuff, Lucian.
We'll get some for you.
We'll get some. Thank you, brother.
Boy,
I also want to leave you with this. Here's a funny story from DFW's very own LaMarcus Aldridge.
Ooh, yeah.
Out of Siegelville, stand up.
Salute.
Mm-hmm. He talks about this, the Knucklehead podcast. They always talking about, like, all right, tell me when you're welcome to the NBA moment. Who busted your ass? Pause. And they asked LaMarcus, and he told a story about Tim Duncan.
Who's the first person in the league to brush your ass?
I've seen y'all ask people this. If you talk about a game, Tim Duncan, man.
Big fundamental.
Like 14 straight points, and then hit me on the butt and said, you going to be okay. I was like, man, I'm touching you, man.
You're going to be okay.
He gets the back screen to the block. So I fight through
right all screen,
the
screens. Baseline.
Yeah. I fight through all the screens and I beat him there. I'm waiting for him. Yeah, you ain't going nowhere. Boom, bump me, right hand. Okay, cool. Come back. Same play again. This time he spins to the baseline, that little one-handed, like little flip shot. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's four. So then they keep running again. 8, 10, 12, and then timeout. I come to the side, I'm like, Nate, are you gonna help me? He's like, hey. You can't stop. I'm like, what? Like, let's double team. He's like, he's smart. Like, if we double him.
So let's jump him.
Yeah.
Let's jump him.
Straight up.
So he's like, if we double him, it's going to be threes. If you get your ass busted, it's just twos. I'm like, but this is embarrassing. Like, I got 12 straight points on you. Like, you want some help.
Didn't say nothing the whole game.
No, he was encouraging me the whole game. Keep trying. You got this.
No, man. No, you can't put 14 on in a row on me and then pat me on the butt talking about good game, man. Keep trying. You're doing good out here. I like what you're doing, Rook.
Yeah. Keep it up, buddy.
Keep it up, fam. Shout out to L.A. All right, I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That is my time. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I will holla.
Thank you, Lucius. L.A. Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. It's time now for the 6 o'clock sound off and your chance to compete against your fellow Tolo for the best take of the night. Lot to react to at 877-881-1053. We're back with your phone calls here on The Fan.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.